Newsroom Footy, hosted by me, Sam Wykes,
and me, Tenero Aruna. Each week, we'll bring you Pacific Islander stories from on and off the rugby league and rugby union field.
We'll have plenty of special guests, tales from the past, tackle the big topics of today, and look forward to the next-gen Nijin Footy Stars.
Nijin Footy. Nijin Footy.
Listen to Nijin Footy on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malolale and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and this show is all about keeping you across all things Pacifica sports. So let's not waste any time. We'll kick the tires, we'll light the fires and get to what's coming up on the show. There's cricket on the agenda with Vanuatu cricket head coach Chris Laffin joining us to talk through the 2026 plans.
It really is a good look for us to be able to make our mark in world cricket and to continue to climb the ranks, but also test ourselves against the teams who are in front of us, which is always a challenge given that we're sort of, you know, we find it hard to get out of the Pacific.
And I hope you love your cricket because it is a cricket double day today on the interview front with the captain of the PNG Lewis, Brenda Tao, running you through how they are going at the T20 Global Qualifiers in Nepal.
The weather has been really tough, to be honest. That's one of the challenges we've been facing here since we got here in Nepal. PNG is hot, you know, and coming here, the weather is just really, really cold. You know, sometimes it goes all the way down to 4 degrees.
Yeah, PNG is very hot and playing in 4 degrees would be an absolute shock to the system. So that's definitely different there for the ladies. But we'll also talk through one of the biggest tournaments the Pacific has seen, the OFC Pro League, which kicked off during the week. News in the worlds of athletics, footy and a sport called, get this, floorball that I had never heard of before about 24 hours ago. So we're going to hear about floorball. But to do all of that, I do need a lot of help, not on this show, just in general, but on the show as well. Every week, I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific to chat sport in the region. And this week, we have PNG sports journalist Jamie Huddle, as well as Nevan cricketer and commentator Melissa Fare. Welcome to you both. Hello, and let's rip into a big show. How are we feeling?
Hi, Sam. It's great to be back for a new season, 2026. I'm really excited to start off the show, especially with the biggest tournament that's happening, and that's the Pro League.
Absolutely. And Mel, how was your break and how are you feeling about our show today?
Oh, Sam, first of all, happy 2026. I know you had some reservations about that, but happy 2026.
I'm more of a happy new year guy, but you do you. You do you.
No, but look, I am so excited to be back on the show. You know, had a lot of fun last year and the year before that, but so many good things have happened over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, OFC is again happening at the moment, and I've learned new things, new sports over the weeks as well. So really excited to get back on the show and talk about Pacific sports some more because, you know, that is the thing that we all love on the show.
Perfect. Well, let's get into it.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, first up, we have the Big Bowl. It's where we come together, we take a seat on the mat and chat the biggest sports stories across the Pacific. So sit back, fill your cup up as myself, Jamie and Mel run through the must-know sports in the region.
The Big Bowl.
Yes, set vinaka. Oh man, that sound of the clap, it brings back some bad memories, really, when I think about some of the carver ceremonies I've been a part of. But we're starting with the biggest sports event that's happening in the Pacific right now, the OFC Pro League. We chatted about it last week and outlined it, and mate, there's plenty of excitement around about this competition. But before we get into the results, how cool is it to see this long-awaited idea finally get underway?
To be honest, the regions finally have its own, Pacific region finally have its own professional tournament, which allows Pacific teams to qualify directly for FIFA tournaments. So it's really good to see the hype around football in the region. It's not just rugby. Nowadays, we have football that's picking up the pace in the professional level.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And Mel, let's start with you here. Vanuatu United, or the Chiefs as they're known, came up against the Fijian team, the Bulla FC, in the first match of the tournament. And here's the first goal of the whole tournament for the Nevans.
Ooh, and it's gone in! And it's the first goal in the OFC Pro League goes to Vanuatu United. Great goal by Alex Samuel.
It ended up being a 2-2 draw, but Mel, when that first goal went in, as I said at the start of the show, you kick the tires, you light the fires, you get vertical and you start cheering. But is that how you were feeling when that first goal went in?
Oh, look, my poor knees, they have suffered over the cricket season, but they have suffered even more after that goal. I don't know, a lot of people don't realise how much I love football as a sport. And I was watching, and like, I think you can hear in my voice, I'm still excited over it. But, you know, the drama that came from that, Alex Samuel, what a header from him. But that point has now officially been given to Bill Kaltak, who had the last touch on that ball as it was going in. So it's officially recorded as the first goal in the history of the competition of the OFC Pro League, and that's gone against Bill Kaltak's name, which is super, super exciting for Vanuatu. As Ani Vanuatu, this is history for Vanuatu and for OFC Pro League, and you know, social media in Vanuatu is insane at the moment, talking about that game, and then following up with the second game against Auckland as well. But what a result, and what a way to start the tournament for Vanuatu. They've had a lot of challenges just in the weeks leading up to the tournament, like internal challenges with the general manager and the coach, both tendering the resignation. But you know, to go in and this is how they've started, it's just brought so much pride to Vanuatu as a country, but also set the tone and the stage for the Pro League.
Yeah, good performances always shut out all the external noise. So they did a great job there. And I think that's a fresh off the dome question for us in the future about the history making goal. Who was it? So I'll bank that one for the coming weeks. And Jamie, how cool was it to see the old Bull, Roy Krishna, playing in the Pacific again for the Bull FC?
Yeah, look, to have Roy Krishna play among some of the upcoming professional footballers. He's like the football king in the Pacific, so he brings a lot of experience, and to score the first goal for Bulla FC was a history in the making, especially for a new team right out of Fiji.
Yeah, Jamie, there'll be monster crowds when the Pro League hits Fiji. I think it might be in Bar, actually. They'll be going off over there, so can't wait for that one. But Mel, Vanuatu, unfortunately, lost their second game 3-1 to the top of the table, Auckland. A tough opening two fixtures for the Chiefs, but hey, there's some really, really big positives coming out of their camp.
Oh, absolutely. You know, lots of positives to take from both games. But, you know, I've been on Vanuatu sports social media and the conversations around that. But as an athlete, you know, we know not to blame the officials. We play.
No, you can. We can. But
the
players can't.
In the spirit of sportsmanship. See, I have to set an example here, Sam. I'm still an active athlete, so that would not reflect well on me. But no, a very strong.
Is that what
second
you're called?
Game.
I like that. Active athlete.
Very strong second game against Auckland. You know, we did not win that game. Auckland were the better team on the day, beating us 3-1. You know, they had the opportunities early on in the first half. They took it, and you know, we responded strongly after the break in the second half with Jordi Tasip again. A great goal from him. But, you know, Auckland eventually sealed that match with a third goal.
Yeah, you're not wrong. First couple of games under the belt, nerves are out, and plenty of lessons to be learnt in review for those games. Jamie, you would have been keeping a close eye on PNG Hikari FC. How did they look in their first game against, what I said last week, and don't hold it against me, they were my adopted team just because of the name, the Solomon Kings. I just feel like that's the best name out there.
Yeah, so look, unfortunately for PNG Hikari, they lost against the Solomon Kings at Eden Park, 1-0. Obviously, a lot of people have saw what happened with the red card flashed at Ati Kepo. It's very upsetting that that happened, and the team were left to defend with the 10 men on the field. It was a strong match, however, having to lock all nil all at halftime. But I was really impressed with John Urubulu, who's one of the forwards who made a lot of attempts, but fortunately couldn't get some goals in before halftime. Solomon Keynes also had Rafa Liai and Jess Lofthouse, who were really looking dangerous up front. But what really caught my eye in that first match against between Hekari United and Solomon Keynes was the Japanese player from the Solomon Keynes, Sota Higashide. I hope I mentioned that name properly. But
I
think you're spot on there,
because I'm fluent in Japanese.
And anyway, so yeah, look, he's the change with the Solomon Keynes made a difference with that one goal. But yeah, it was a really tough match. Overall, I would have loved to see the veteran, PNG veteran striker, Raymond Gonemba, start in the first 11. He came on in the second half, tried his best, but, you know, a lot of efforts coming to a close. So really hopeful to see what he can do in the next match. And I'm really banking on him to start in the first 11 because he's the best that we have right now in the country. But unfortunately, their match yesterday at North Harbour Stadium was cancelled due to the rain in Auckland. So I hope they have that match against Tahiti United played at a later date. But I am really excited to see round two come to Papua New Guinea in the following weeks.
Yeah, we'll hear about the rain in a moment, but let's hear from the Japanese superstar who got the goal for the Solomon Kings.
Kings, here's a cross. Nice play. Here's a big chance. It's in. And it's Higashide with just about his first touch of the game, who has given the Solomon Kings the lead.
Higashide, subarashii goru. See, there's my Japanese. I just said it was a very good goal, but there we go. Mil, the Tahitians had a bit of a rough start.
Yeah, I mean, look, Tahiti is one of those teams where their technicality is top quality if you look at the teams in Oceania. But, you know, they've 98-minute extra time. I hate extra time in football. I just need to get that out there because that's what happens. They were playing a great game and then a late free kick in the 98-minute got the result in the favour of South Melbourne, denying Tahiti what would have been a historic first point for them. But, you know, their tough first match, but a great game for them. But then the momentum is kind of disrupted again by the weather from in the second game, when the second game was scheduled against PNG Hikari FC was postponed because of the severe weather and severe rain that's currently happening in Auckland at the moment. And I'm sure they would be looking to get back on the pitch to play some football and show the kind of football that they can play, because football is the club culture there, the football culture in Tahiti is huge. It spans, you know, futsal, the 11-a-side game, but also beach soccer as well. So the Pro League now gives Tahitian players a platform to really show their quality in a full professional environment, and I'm looking forward to them when they play in the next match on the 24th.
Yeah, some very, very heavy rain interrupted the games. I think it ruined three games. You know, I think, you know, Jamie, you know, those postponements happened there. Like, what did you make of the rain, but also, you know, how does that affect, you know, preparations and especially being the first round?
Well, to be honest, I've been to North Harbour Stadium and I can tell you the place gets really flooded. But yeah, the rain just really affected the second matches, especially with the one between Bulla FC and South Island. Yeah, but apart from that, look, I hope the weather clears up for the next matches. PNG Hikari is expected to play South Melbourne and Tahiti United with Solomon Keynes. So I hope that all goes well and the outstanding matches can be played at a later date. But yeah, hopefully the weather clears up.
Yes, there's four games remaining in the first circuit of matches over the weekend. Games are South Island United versus Vanuatu, Auckland versus Bulla FC, Solomon Kings versus Tahiti, PNG Hikari versus South Melbourne. And then the next round of games starts on January 31st in Port Moresby. Jamie, Port Moresby, they're going to be hosting the second round of games. How's the pitch looking, and I guess how's the atmosphere building up over there?
Well, guess what? for the first time in long, I don't know, some years, over 10 years since the last football match was held. It's going to be at the National Football Stadium here in Port Moresby. So where we watch all the rugby action, now we're able to see all football action throughout the rest of round two here in PNG.
Well, this is the most I've ever talked about football or soccer. I'm actually really interested in the sport now. So I'll be switching over and supporting my Solomon Kings throughout this competition. But thank you, everyone. It's been a massive tournament that will be on through to May with the next stop in PNG, then rounds in Australia, the Solomons, Fiji, and back to NZ for the playoffs. And we'll keep you posted here on Fresh Off the Field. And that is the big bowl for now. We will refill it next week and keep you informed here on Fresh Off the Field with the must-know stories across the Pacific.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh Off the Field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, so it wouldn't be a Fresh Off the Field show without hearing from our stars in the region. Later in the show, we'll hear from you, Mel, and your chat with Vanuatu cricket coach Chris Laffin about why 2025 was defined by women's cricket. But for now, Jamie, we're going to hear a chat you had with the PNG Lowers captain, Brenda Tau. What tournament are they playing in at the moment?
Yes, so the PNG Lowers are currently competing in the ICC Women's T20 World Cup Global Qualifiers that's currently happening in Nepal. They already played Ireland, Bangladesh, and they're yet to play Namibia and USA.
And how did they go in those games?
Unfortunately, they lost their two opening matches against Ireland and Bangladesh.
Okay, let's hear from Brenda Tau, captain of the PNG Lowers, the national women's cricket team. And you started by asking Brenda how the tournament is going so far.
Honestly, it's been great. So far, so good. You know, despite two losses against Ireland and Bangladesh, you know, there's still a lot of positive feedbacks, a lot of key areas that we've improved on, and you know, I'm still proud of the girls. I'll always be proud of them for the fight they bring in, the fighting spirit. So yeah, the girls are doing well. You know, obviously we know that in this higher standard we will be challenged. We will be tested, and there will be huge tasks for us as individuals and as a team. But still, the fighting spirit within the team, within the group, has been outstanding, and yeah, it's really good.
Two tough matches against Ireland and Bangladesh. What is your take on the two losses so far?
Yeah, obviously, it was tough. It was challenging, but it was great. It was a great experience for the girls. And yeah, like I said, there's a lot of key areas that we've improved on, you know, and the coaches have spoken to us about it, and there are positive outcomes, for positive feedbacks that we can take back from both games against Ireland and Bangladesh, which we have improved on. And you know, despite the loss, like I said earlier, I'm still proud of the girls and the fight they put as individuals and as a group and as a team. So I'm still proud of them. But yeah, despite the loss, we're not hanging there. We're moving forward, and we're taking what we have learned in both these games. Yeah, despite the loss, I'm still proud of the girls and yeah, the fight that they've actually put in both games.
You play your third match this weekend against Namibia. What's the team's focus now?
Mostly to win. We need, it's a must, we win these two games that are coming, which is against Namibia and USA. And obviously they won't come easy on us also. So there's no team that or opposition that will take lightly. You know, we've given all our best against Ireland and Bangladesh, and we'll do the same with Namibia and USA. And they're still hoping the circle, hoping the team, and believe that we'll make it to the Super Six. We need to win these two games. So the most important thing for us, the goal is to win. And yeah, the focus would be for us to win that game so that we can go and play against USA again. And yes, of course, to win again and to hopefully qualify for the Super Six.
How's the weather condition like in Nepal, especially for the team currently competing in this global qualifier?
The weather has been really tough, to be honest. That's one of the challenges we've been facing here since we got here in Nepal. You know, PNG's hot, you know, and coming here, the weather is just really, really cold. You know, sometimes it goes all the way down to 4 degrees, 13 degrees, all those, and, you know, we're not used to it. So it's been really hard. It's been really tough. But, yes, the girls have been trying their very best to adjust and, you know, get used to this weather, which we've been here for a week. It has improved a lot since the day we've arrived. And the girls have, you know, actually got used to the weather. So, but it has been challenging for us, not going to lie. But, yeah, it's the girls have improved, and yeah, it's been really good. And yeah, the girls are getting used to it, and so am I. So, it has been challenging, but it has been good. The weather has been good to us. It's really cold, but it has been good to us, and the girls are used to it.
A lot of new faces in the current women's national team, especially for the young PNG Lewas. How are they finding this experience, especially competing in the top stages such as the global qualifiers?
Yeah, they're excited, to be honest. They're pumped up and they're looking forward since we've been here. Since we've left on PNG, they're just so excited. You know, they know that, you know, obviously, they're going to be around the teammates. It's going to be a new experience again. And we've had discussions with them, you know, the times we, you know, senior players get to sit with them. You know, just when we're having a chat, you know, they tell them that it's going to be hard. The standard is high. But, you know, they know they're aware of it. And also they're just learning day by day. They're looking forward to it. They're learning day by day, and they're just really happy to be here and excited, to be honest. And they're pumped up. Like the few girls, younger players that, you know, actually played in this two games that we had against Thailand and Bangladesh. Yeah, there are a few young players that played, and they were so pumped up. They were looking forward to it. You know, they know their roles and their responsibilities, and it's just really, like I said, it just makes me proud to see younger players in the Lewas just looking forward to compete against teams that they know that are in a higher level, higher standard. They were pumped up to face them. They're pumped up to play against them. So, you know, they're happy, and yeah, they're excited also.
A lot of support coming from the cricket community here in Papua New Guinea and abroad. What is your message to the family and fans who are keeping a close watch and following the PNG Lewas current tour in the global qualifiers?
To be honest, just keep believing in us. You know, just keep the trust. Keep the faith, mostly the faith in us, you know. So, you know, it's not an easy tournament. It's hard. It's a higher level, higher standard where we will be tested. We will be put in a lot of challenge. So all we need from, you know, families back home, just keep the faith in us. Just keep the belief and trust in us. You know, we're trying our very best. Please keep the faith in us.
Look, I know they had a couple of tough losses, and I'm sure everyone is keeping the faith over in PNG with supporting their team. But who's probably been the standout player for the Lewas so far?
I think it's definitely the captain herself, Brenda Tau. She's been really awesome out there, not just leading but also in performance. So she's the one to look out up. But there's still hopes for the Lewas, especially in the next match this weekend and the last one against USA.
Thank you so much, Jamie and Mill. We'll hear from you a bit later in the show as well with more cricket chat with the head coach of Vanuatu Cricket, who are looking to have a huge 2026. But for now, though, let's hop aboard the Fresh Off the Field Va'a and do this.
Island hopping.
Yeah, we're going to go island hopping here. And last week, a couple of our paddlers, they didn't paddle far enough and it was a little bit rocky. They didn't really navigate the sea well enough. But so hopefully you two are ready to paddle. Are we ready to put in some work here?
I was born ready, Sam.
Born ready. Mate, none of you sounded confident at all. But well, we started talking about the OFC Pro League, but as you'd imagine, there's plenty of other sport around this week. So we are going to go on and hop in and check it out. And the best way to do that is grab a paddle, jump in the VAR and cruise around the Pacific. And Jamie, you're on the paddles first up, okay? So no surprise, you're taking us to beautiful PNG, and you've kept an eye on some of your beloved Kumuz players who are playing in the UK with the London Broncos. So how far would that paddle be, do you think, from PNG to London? Can you get there in a little VAR?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure about paddling all the way from PNG to London, but the flight that I took from in between PNG, Singapore and London is like over 20 hours, so it might take us 2 to 3 days.
Oh, I think it might take a couple of years to be able to paddle that far. But anyway, Darren Lockyer has bought into this team. I'm sure he's well-loved over in PNG, being a famous Bronco. And then this man's also loved over there, Jason Demetria. Like, they got off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, look, it's really exciting to see that Papua New Guinea fans are raving about the new look Broncos team. I'm going to say this as the second favourite team after the Broncos defeated Witness Vikings in the UK Rugby League Championships over the weekend. So a lot of people might wonder why we're talking about championships in the UK and not the Pacific. It's because of our 7 PNG Kumuls players who are currently contracted to the Broncos, obviously owned by NRL's legend Darren Lockyer. So the team's currently coached by Jason Demetriou, as you mentioned, who's also the PNG Kumuls coach. So, you know, having the Broncos opening match featured 5 members of the PNG team, including Alex Max, who was the standout in that match, scoring 2 tries, as well as Robert Matthews. And apart from them, we have Apple Capinius, Gairo Voro, and Moria, who were part of the Kumuls team that won the Pacific Bowl last year here in Papua New Guinea. So although they featured, there's a possibility that the Kumuls, 2 other Kumuls teammates, Finley Glare and Jeremiah Simbiken, might be featured in the second match, which they're expected to play in the London's Challenge Cup against West Warriors this Sunday. So it's really exciting stuff for our PNG Kumuls players. But what really caught my eye in that match over the weekend was that among the crowd of 4,000 plus people watching at the stands, it was the PNG flags that stole the show, to be honest, all the way from London. More welcoming scene for PNG players who are finding their feet in the UK champs.
I've got no doubt when the boys ran out in the cold over there in London, they would have looked up to the stands and seen their flag flying proudly up there, that they would have drawn on some, you know, much needed inspiration being away from home. So that's pretty cool to hear. But let's hear from one of the tries by Robert Matthews.
And Hawkins has made his way through here and he hands it off and the London Broncos are over and it's touchdown by Robert Matthews.
When you think about the amount of PNG players in this side, Jamie, like, how much do you think this is going to help their preparation for World Cup, having that type of exposure at that level?
To be honest, to play at that level, it's the highest, apart from NRL. Obviously, Papua New Guinea is entering NRL 2 years from now with the Chiefs set to make the debut. But right now, having 7 PNG Kumuls compete in a team owned by an NRL legend is a very big exposure for these players. And to have them represent Papua New Guinea in another country, it's a big step. And especially with the World Cup, I'm really excited to see what's going to happen.
Mel, thank you for that, Jamie. Sorry, thank you for that. But Mel, I know you've had some injuries in the past with your shoulder and your upper body work. Hopefully you've been continuing in the gym and maybe on the rower as well. But you're up next. We're paddling somewhere. I believe it's another beautiful destination. Where are we going to?
I have gotten on board just 2 days ago, but I am paddling. My shoulder is great. After playing at the Adelaide Oval over the weekend, I have got the power and the energy. But I got on board 2 days ago. I paddled all the way to Solomon Islands and then we went to New Zealand because Solomon Islands made history in New Zealand.
Wow, two stops. Playing. You paddled to two different...
Two stops.
Oh, wow, okay.
In 2 days, Sam.
2 days.
That's how good I am.
Fair enough. And then you've paddled there and you've discovered something interesting, something new.
I have discovered something new. I have discovered floorball. I have never heard of floorball before, but Solomon Islands have made history this month, becoming the first Pacific Island nation to compete at the Asia-Oceania Floorball Confederation qualifiers for the 2026 Men's World Floorball Championships later this year. But they competed last week in Wellington from the 13th to the 19th of January. And floorball was... This is probably the first time many people will be hearing about floorball as well. So I just want to quickly say what floorball is. And
yeah,
I'm going
to
read
me.
This.
I can't even picture in my head what it's about.
I'm going to read it, so it's very specific because I don't want anything to get missing. But floorball is an indoor team sport often described as ice hockey without the ice. So if you can imagine that. It is played... It is a 5-a-side...
Yes.
With lightweight sticks and a hollow plastic ball on a rink the same size as an ice hockey surface. Now, I did not find out what the size of an ice hockey surface is, but the game is apparently quite fast, highly technical, and built around quick passing, constant movement, and rapid transitions from defense to attack. Apparently, floorball is quite popular in Scandinavian countries, and it is now one of the fastest growing sports in the world, and Solomon Islands have gotten on board 3 years ago with their player coach, Adam Olofsson, who brought the sport to Solomon Islands, introduced it there, and established the National Federation in Solomon Islands. And Nishi, they made history being the first Pacific Islands team to compete in an official floorball tournament. And, you know, they finished ninth out of 10. They finished ninth place, but they did also record their first historical win in that tournament as well. They beat Hong Kong, China. And if you look at the scores from the tournament, they sort of started out really, really badly. They lost 21. And then from there, they kind of built and they got better and better across as the tournament goes on, and finally finished with an 8-win victory against Hong Kong, China, who was there.
Yeah, well done to the Solomons, the first in the Pacific. So they are trailblazing. Looking forward to more floorball action in the future. I'm just going to bring a quick story here. The fastest man in Micronesia, his name is Winza Kakiowa. He's from Nauru. So last year, he became the fastest man in Micronesia by breaking the 100-meter record with a 10.78-second time. And now he's continuing his form in 2026 by breaking the national 400-meter record of Nauru. Anyone can guess how fast he ran that one?
12 seconds?
12 seconds to run 400 meters.
Oh, wait, no, 400 meters. Sorry. My bad.
I was thinking 45 seconds.
Well, 45?
Just a wild guess.
That's okay. What I wanted to say.
400.
Yeah, 400. Well, it was 51.18 seconds. He broke the national record of Nauru. He did this at the Alan Bond Shield event in Brisbane. He moved to Brisbane from Nauru to better his performance and make sure that he's progressing through and getting that development under his belt. So a big shout out to my mates, Winza. We had him on that Pacific Sports Show before. When was it? Last year. So absolute champion of a bloke. And we wish him all the best for the future. All right, Jamie, we've paddled to PNG. You went to London as well. We've gone to the Solomons. We've gone to Nauru. There was a pit stop in New Zealand somewhere. We discovered some things along the way, but I believe you've still got... Surely has to be Fiji. We've said everywhere else.
We're paddling all the way to Fiji past Nandi to Sigatoka, the rugby town.
past the sugar city. Wananavu. Anyway, keep it going.
the one of the biggest grassroots sevens tournament in the world just wrapped up over the weekend, and it is obviously the Coral Coast Sevens. And I'm really impressed with the Yarrow Chiefs, who recorded their name in the history books as this year's winners. Now, Chiefs made history in the rugby town, obviously, Sigatoka, claiming the first CC Sevens title after defeating Rabuga Sharks both teams were debutants after, and get this, last year I made mention of the qualifying teams. Both teams were the qualifying teams from the Super Sevens tournament. From qualifying to winning and runner-up in the biggest tournament, both teams have made their mark in Fiji's biggest sevens tournament. From this win, they've also received word that there's exciting news that they're likely, or a couple of players are likely to be... Sorry, I'll just stop there first. Can you guys hear the aircraft noise?
I'll tell you right now, I'd rather be on that plane than being the va'a. I would have got to all these destinations a bit quicker. Are they coming to pick me up? Is that the plane that's coming to pick me up?
Most possibly. From that win, they've received news that there is they're expected to be called up into the Fiji Sevens extended squad, confirmed by the head coach Osea Colini Sau. Standout performers from the tournament will be brought into the Sevens national team extended squad, and also to the ambassadors of the game. Two ambassadors, special legends, made their mark as well. CC Sevens welcome Black Fan Sevens and 15 superstar Portia Woodman Wycliffe and Springboks Roscoe Speckman into Rugby Town's Walk of Fame. So both of these legends left with a mark, leaving a mark in Sigatoka. But overall, it was really a great tournament in Sigatoka.
Amazing action on the field, and I'm sure that Colini Sau will be keeping a close eye on Wame Ratuva from the Yarrow Chiefs, who was a standout for their team. Look, I'm a little bit seasick. I don't want to travel anywhere else. Just throw the anchor in. I need a bit of a swim, Mel. So can we hold fire in Fiji just for a second and enjoy the beautiful waters?
I am more than happy to give you this time to go for a swim as I deliver the results for the CommBank Joey's Pacific All Sports football tour, which has kicked off. I know you've already talked about it on the show and what the tour is about. I can't bear in results. So in the first match played on Saturday, the 17th of January in Lautoka, the Joey's, the Australia's under-17 side, defeated Fiji under-19's with the score of 2-0. But, you know, Fiji played a great game. They threatened through their counter-attacks and set pieces, but Australia maintained control and doubled the advantage in the second half. Sam, your swim is over. We're paddling to Solomon Islands. I'm sorry, but it's time to go.
That's okay. I'm going to fall asleep while you two paddle. Is that play on? I'm not doing any work. I'm done.
That's play on. Don't worry. Just close your eyes, open it. We're in Solomon Islands. First game has happened.
Here we are.
Solomon Islands under-19s have played against the Joeys on Tuesday the 20th. The team arrived in Solomon Islands in Honiara, played the first game, recorded a 5-2 win against the Solomon Islands under-19, and are now gearing up for their final game of the tour against Solomon Islands as well, the Solomon Islands under-19s at the National Stadium in Honiara. And that game will be on the 24th of January.
Perfect. And just to round us out here, I want to show massive love to Destiny Ayava. She's a Samoan tennis player who qualified for the Australian Open last year, which is happening right now. Unfortunately, she didn't qualify this year, but she has copped so much online abuse, poor behaviour. It's absolutely disgusting, some of the messages that she receives online, and her bravery and her courage to be able to come out and speak openly about this, call these keyboard warriors out, and show that type of strength to do that. I just want to show her massive love, and we've got your back 100%. Love and support, and we're always going to be here for you, Destiny Ayava. And Mel, Jamie, unreal. I'm out of breath. We've paddled everywhere. Catching the next flight out somewhere, but let's recharge for what we've got coming up next.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with Sam Wykes, Jamie Huddle and Melissa Fade, and we're going to get to our second chat for today as we bring you not only the news and stories, but also the people that make our amazing region across the Pacific so unique. But anyway, Mel, you spoke to the head coach of Vanuatu cricket team, Chris Laffin. Before we get into it, is this just a shameless way for you to pump up your tyres, you know, try and get yourself picked in the team, trying to get yourself not be the team manager anymore? Is this what this interview was about?
Sam, it's 2026. Stop spilling my secrets on radio.
Sorry. No one listening anyway. There's no one out there.
No one's listening. But sport hasn't really started. Cricket is one of the only sports that has already kicked off in Vanuatu. So I was very fortunate to be able to get Chris to have a chat with him.
All right, let's hear from Chris Laffin now, head coach of Vanuatu Cricket, who started by telling you, Mill, how he'd best wrap up 2025.
I think women is the way that we'd sum it up for sure. We knew at the very start of 2025 what it would look like. It was really, taken from within as the year of our women. We had three tours planned and we were fortunate enough to have plenty of assistance around that. So our women's team toured New Caledonia, hosted by France Cricket there, followed by PNG, courtesy of the Pacific Oz Sports Group, who also had PNG, us and Samoa there, and then obviously the recent EAP qualifier in Fiji. We're now ranked 30th in the world in the women's game at the moment, and we're hoping to continue to project upwards.
Chris, off the back of 2025, with knowing the rankings that the women are placed at the moment and looking into 2026, what are Vanuatu Cricket's goals and high-performance plans for this year?
Yeah, so I think we're really well placed again from a women's point of view. We have the under-19 qualifiers coming up, which we see as a great pathway for cricket in the country right now, given that our women are really putting cricket on the map here. It's creating a lot of buzz of excitement, and it's really good timing that the under-19s are going to get that opportunity for the first time to represent Vanuatu from a female point of view. From the open age women's perspective, for us, we were fortunate enough to gain access into the Challenge Trophy, which is played over 3 years due to finishing essentially runners-up to PNG in Fiji in the recent qualifier. So we're away to Rwanda in April with our group against the likes of the USA, Nepal, Rwanda themselves and Italy. So for us, it's an opportunity to play some teams who are ranked in the low 20s to 25. So it really is a good look for us to be able to make our mark in world cricket and to continue to climb the ranks, but also test ourselves against the teams who are in front of us, which is always a challenge given that we're sort of, we find it hard to get out of the Pacific due to, from a cost point of view, and there's always the highs and lows in terms of the developing game.
I saw some Vanuatu Cricket news that two of your women's players have just headed to New Zealand to play the remainder of the club's season there, but they are not the only ones overseas on player placements at the moment, as you do have players playing in Australia as well, both men and women. What is the impact of these placements on both the individual players' cricketing careers and Vanuatu Cricket as a whole as you work towards your plans for achieving those plans for 2026?
That's definitely a big priority for us. Those two girls were the 9th and 10th players within our men's and women's teams to take up an opportunity to go and play purely cricket overseas. Which was fantastic. We're not naive to the fact of the facilities that we have here and the lack of resources from a coaching point of view that we can get access to our players and competitions. So the more that we're able to provide our players from that point of view, linking with New Zealand and Australian-based clubs really helps to strengthen that growth. We've also got 4 to 5 other players who are overseas for different reasons, whether that's for work or for study, who are playing at various clubs as well. And again, it gives us a really good blueprint in terms of selection, but also just allows our players to continue to develop in what is realistically the off season here in quite a right involved in the wet season here. So it's definitely our priority pushing forward, and we'll continue to make those programs better and stronger as we grow. I think we're probably past the days of just dumping the players at the clubs, so to speak, and relying on the clubs to do absolutely everything. And I think some of our players are really close to really maximising their opportunity overseas and their earning opportunity overseas through their cricket, which is so exciting because they're willing to step outside their comfort zone and show some levels of independence too.
Chris, this all sounds like amazing development for Vanuatu cricket and the players as well, but the development work that the VCA is doing is not just happening overseas, as you are currently running a cricket academy that is happening in Vanuatu. Tell me a bit about what the academy is and why it is such an important part of your development and player pathways from a long-term development perspective.
Yeah, for sure. I think the academy was a long time coming. Essentially, we took a while to really get the plans in place and make sure that it was really going to take off. So we're basically running a week-to-week group of sessions for the players, we really saw an opportunity to grow the junior development of our high-performing athletes and really provide a better pathway into our, not just our under-19 sides, but our senior sides as well. In particular, I think our men's or our under-19 boys teams in over the last couple of years were probably our catalyst for change here. I'm not shying away from it for sure, and I don't think Vanuatu cricket would. We're obviously resource poor, as everyone is in the associate game. We'd all love more access to coaching and funding and all the rest. But the idea is that we've got players from ages 12 up until 18, so the next under-19 qualifying age, both from a boys and girls point of view. So here in Port Vila, we just happened to have a 15 male, 15 female split, and that wasn't done deliberately at all. So players trialled to get into the academy and then were able to be selected from there, and every Friday afternoon have transport organised and whatnot to ensure that they're really able to capitalise on their cricket. We've also had 10 players selected in both Tanner and Santo to be a part of the exact same academy. So the idea was to run the exact same curriculum in all three areas that we were going to run the academy to start off with. There's certainly been some hiccups on the way in terms of communication and transport and things like that. But we're really happy with where things have started and really excited for it to grow too.
But Chris, you mostly an associate cricketer. It's most associate countries are resource poor. Do you think that part of the reason why the retention for younger players and players in general is because of the lack of competitions that associate member countries used to be able to play?
For me, it's not so much about looking at that being a challenge and saying it's too hard to overcome, but instead it's looking at the long game and you know, it's not necessarily about us winning through to an under-19 World Cup, but instead being able to provide an opportunity for those players to develop so that they can be senior cricketers for our national sides. It's just keeping the players in the game, like you said, at junior level and not potentially putting them into a position where they're going to fail. And I think the academy was a big part of that.
Well, Chris, on the topic of opportunities for players and teams, Vanuatu Cricket has quite a full calendar year this year. Are you able to tell us what is coming up for Vanuatu Cricket's representative teams and what are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, well, what I'm most looking forward to is a good question. It's the spread across four of our national sides, which is really, really exciting, and potentially seeing some future coaches from Vanuatu grow in some roles as well. So I'll start with the under-19 girls who get an opportunity, the best opportunity you get through to a World Cup, you know, the shortest pathway. They're off to PNG at the beginning of April. That's first and foremost. Then our women are off to Rwanda after that to participate in the Challenge Trophy, which again is a really exciting time for our women's side to really stamp where they belong. It's probably in the mid-20s from a ranking point of view. And then our men get the opportunity to, get another crack at moving through the EAP. So we move through in 2022 into the 2023 qualifying final. Our last EAP qualifier in Samoa in 2024 was one that we'd like to move past, and we've had a year and a half to sort of think about that and get a few things right. So we're really excited with a full book of availability for our men to really thrive on that stage in Japan in May. And then our under-19 boys, we're really blessed, probably with a little bit of extra time to develop them. We're going to be hosting the EAP World Cup qualifier B here in September.
Thanks so much, Mel, for that. I was hoping for a bit more goss around yourself and your performance, but anyway, it's not about you, it's about the team. But Jamie, what did you think of that?
Look, a lot of opportunities for this year, especially with Vanuatu cricket. Now, I have to ask this, Mel. Do you think this opportunity should have been there when you were growing up playing cricket?
Look, that's a great question because, you know, I love cricket. I've been playing for about a decade now. I really wish that we had the same opportunities. For example, the cricket academy, which Chris really talked about. I wish I had that when I was in high school and learning about cricket. Maybe I would be a better cricketer than what I am right now if we had those investments. But, you know, some of us have to walk in order for other people to run. So I'm very glad that I get to be able to contribute in terms of being able to bring these investments for the young people that are now coming through cricket and just growing cricket some more.
I absolutely love that, Mel. All jokes aside, you're a fantastic ambassador for the game and you're doing amazing things for all the future cricketers coming through. So well done. Well done. But that's us. That's us for, I guess, all the formal things. We've got to break it up and we're going to get to
Fresh Off the Dome.
Yes, it's fresh off the dome. Here it is for 2026. This will be the first time for you two ladies playing Fresh Off the Dome. And if this is your first time tuning in, I'll ask three questions. Mel and Jamie, they'll use their name as a buzzer. If you think you know the answer at home, of course, you can play along at home as well. Let's get to question number one. This one's closest to. We went island hopping in the va'a earlier in the episode. The Hawaiki Nui Va'a is a three-day va'a race held in Tahiti in October. How many kilometres do they paddle for across the 3 days? And a little hint, it's between 0 kilometres, of course, and 200 kilometres. It's a big one. Wow.
Melissa.
Go for it, Mel. What are you thinking?
131.
Jamie, what are you thinking?
Yeah, Jamie, wild guess, 150.
Ooh, 150. Okay, well, I'm going to have to go with Mel on this one. There we go, ding, ding, ding. Yeah, 128 kilometres.
Okay. Okay, so that's not bad.
Not bad. Very close, nearly on the button. Well done. So it's 1-0. Okay, question number two. This one's multiple choice. Footballer Jairoel Paty is set to join his team for the second round of OFC Pro League matches in PNG next week. Which team will he play for? Is it A, Tahiti United, B, the Bulla FC, or C, Solomon Kings?
Ooh, Jamie.
All right, Jamie.
So I'm going to go with A, just a rough, that's an estimate because I haven't read all the lists.
Okay, so you're going with A, Tahiti United, and that is incorrect. What about the sound effects? We've really upped the ante here. We've upped the ante. We've got more budgets for 2026, so we've put it towards our sound effects. So what are you thinking here, Mel?
Melissa, Solomon Kings.
Wow, wait, get the sound effects on. Get it up. The crowd is going off.
It's going.
Fireworks. And that is the game. It was the Solomon Kings. The 19-year-old is a rising star for the Solomon Islands. Look, that's us. Mel, 2-0. 2-0. Jamie.
We're starting the year strong.
We're actually going to keep score this year. And because there's more money in the budget, that means we get a free trip to Hawaii for the winner.
So, amazing.
Yep. So that's a trip for two. So I will be part of that, even if I don't win anything.
But
I've got to chaperone anyone who wins. But that brings us to the end of the show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, PNG journalist Jamie Huddle. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you to my Sam and Mel. It was a really exciting episode and I'm looking forward to more later on this year.
And thank you to my other co-host. Thank you to our resident cricket expert, Mel Fadde.
Thank you to my Sam for having me on the show again. This was such a fun first show for me for the year and I'm looking forward to my shows with all of you. Jamie, so much fun.
Awesome work. And a big thank you to Witness Vikings and the OFC for the audio used in this episode and to you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.